Hi, this is Conrad Marshall from Good Weekend Talks. This week's podcast is about vaccine hesitancy and the small town of Mullumbimby, ground zero for Australia's anti-vaxxer movement. So after this episode of Please Explain, go and search Good Weekend Talks wherever you get your podcasts and listen to the anti-vaxxer capital of Australia.
From the newsrooms of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, this is Please Explain. I'm Tori Maguire and it is Friday, April 3rd. For the duration of the COVID-19 crisis, Please Explain is coming to you 5 days a week. As of this afternoon, Australia had recorded 5,315 cases of coronavirus and 25 people have died. I'm joined now by science reporter from The Age, Liam Mannix. Liam Mannix, thanks so much for joining me on Please Explain for the first time.
Good to be here, Tori. Thanks for having me.
I think it's a bit of a crime on my part that you haven't been on this show before.
I agree, Tori. Guilty as charged.
Well, there's some silver linings in the crisis that we're going through. I would like to talk to you today about vaccination and whether or not there is one on the horizon for COVID-19.
So this is sort of the question that everybody wants to know, right? Because once we get a vaccine, it kind of brings this whole thing, this whole horrible thing to an end. Scientists say that they think we're perhaps 12 to 18 months away. But Tori, you've got to keep in mind that that's a really general estimate. Like, we're right at the start of this process. It could be shorter, which would be great. It could be longer. And there is the possibility, and we do need to keep this in our minds, that we never get a vaccine at all. These coronaviruses, we haven't got a vaccine for any of them at the moment that actually works in humans.
That's a scary proposition. So let's break it down and start with, what is the process for searching for a vaccine?
There are lots of different ways that you can make a vaccine, heaps and heaps. In Australia at the moment, we've got 5 different vaccines being developed, all using different technologies. The CSIRO are then testing another 2 separate vaccines that again use different technologies themselves. So the first thing you want to do is work out your technology for creating an immune response. And that's really the goal here. You're trying to train the immune system so that when the virus turns up, it sees it, it's ready to go, and it can kill it. And that immune response will either give you total immunity, so you'll never get sick, or it'll give you partial immunity, so that your body can more easily fight off the virus when it comes in. So that's your first step. Then once you've got an idea, you test it in human cells in a dish. So you should be able to put the vaccine in. It shouldn't kill the cells. It should keep them alive and keep the vaccine from infecting them. Third step, you want to test it on animals. So make sure that it's safe in animals, first of all. And then you want to make sure that it can actually protect an animal from an infection. And then you want to go into human trials. So it is a very long and very involved process. And that's why, even though, you know, so many teams are working on this and they're working so fast, it still takes a really long time.
The idea of all of that happening in a 12 to 18 month period is mind-boggling, especially as then once they manage to find a vaccine that works, they have to manufacture it at scale and administer it around the world, which is a huge undertaking, isn't it?
It really is. You're right. Like, you'd have to build this thing. A lot of these vaccines are entirely new, you know, and you'd have to build new manufacturing facilities to build them because they're really quite unique pieces of technology. Then you've got to ship them all around the world. And you know, you can already see some of the complications emerging with that. Like, when we get a vaccine, who's going to get it first? How do we decide? Is it going to be the rich countries? Is it going to be the countries that need it the most? Like, there's a long way to go on this, Tori.
So who are the people, Liam, who are in this desperate race to try and find one in Australia? What organisations are taking part in this process?
Well, there are a lot. And new ones emerge every day. We revealed the other day that Monash have one. I think Griffith now have one. But the leaders, the ones that people are most excited about, are a team at the University of Queensland. They had been developing a vaccine for pandemics in general before all of this started. And, you know, they'd hoped to have the next few years to test it and roll out a first version. Unfortunately, their test case is now going to be actually the coronavirus pandemic themselves. So this lab, up there with Professor Paul Young, they are working with a global group called CEPI, and CEPI are funded by a number of countries to try and come up with vaccines in advance of a pandemic. They've got a vaccine called a molecular clamp. And essentially what it allows you to do is, as soon as you know the genetics of a virus, you can put the genetic code straight into the vaccine and start producing something really quickly, which should work. They've done quite well. They have developed what they think is an effective technique. I understand that at the moment they're up to the adjuvant testing section, which is working out how you combine your vaccine technology with a booster to really kick the immune response into overdrive. So they're there and they're hoping to go into animal trials soon. There are a couple of vaccines at the CSIRO from overseas, one's from the University of Oxford and the other's from America. They're going into animal trials at the moment. Over in the US, a company called Moderna perhaps leads the way on all of this. They've got an mRNA vaccine, which is in human trials at the moment. That's the one that perhaps people are most excited about, not because it is necessarily the best, but because it's the one that we think we will know if it works the soonest, Tori.
So how do trials work, Liam? Let's start with animal trials. What happens to these animals?
Yeah, so first of all, what you want to do is find an animal that you can infect with this virus. Not all animals are going to be able to be infected with this. Not all will show symptoms that are relevant for humans. With coronaviruses in particular, the model we use is ferrets, because they possess a very similar, they're called cellular receptors, to humans. So the virus essentially sticks onto ferret cells the same way it sticks onto human cells. So the CSIRO down at their ultra high security lab in Geelong have been working on this problem for, I think, 8 weeks now. They initially planned to do it in 16 weeks, 4 months. They've remarkably managed to do that in just 2 months. They have shown that ferrets can get infected with SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, and they have now shown the course of the infection through the ferret's body. Now they can test the vaccine on the ferret. That's what they're about to start doing, to see what happens to it, if it's safe, if it's effective. Then you go from there into human trials. And generally, I'm not particularly sure if you'd speed this up with a pandemic, but generally the way it works is you do a phase one trial. That checks that the vaccine or drug is safe. Then you move into phase two. That checks that it's effective. And then once you've got the results from those two, you then go to your licensing agency and say, hey, we want to do this.
So once it's been through animal trials, Liam, it moves on to human trials. That's a big thing to ask any human to take part in, isn't it?
It really is. But a lot of people are putting up their hands because they get it. You know, we need a vaccine. I think, you know, clinical trial sites in Australia and overseas have been inundated, both with people, you know, keen to get a chance at this thing, but also keen to do a civic duty. The faster we can get this tested, the faster we can know if it works.
That's amazing. But going back to your point at the beginning of the podcast, I'd like to address now what happens if we don't find an effective and safe vaccine. How do we manage this illness long term without a vaccine?
Yeah, it's a depressing prospect, isn't it? If we don't develop a vaccine, what will inevitably happen is that this virus will move through such a large proportion of the population, leaving behind immunity, that eventually we will develop herd immunity and the virus will no longer be able to circulate. There are a lot of estimates on what sort of level you'd need to get there, but epidemiologists say to me that it's perhaps in the ballpark of 60% of the population needing to be infected, perhaps a bit more. It essentially means people have to get sick. That happens depending on how fast your social settings allow the virus to move through the community. If we remained in lockdown like we are at the moment, it might never happen, because you would slow the spread of the virus so much that, you know, we could spend years and years and years slowly passing it around. More likely, we would slowly reduce our social distancing measures. And you can do that in one of two ways. You can sort of reduce it a bit, so you open some bits of society, allow some people to go back to work, and hope that you can get a sustainable level of infection for the next 12 to 18 months until we develop herd immunity. Or you can do what is proposed in the UK of a sort of stop-start social distancing. So you bring your infection rate down, you flatten the curve, as they say, and then when you're ready, you reopen society. The curve goes back up, but you get about a month. And then when the curve looks like it's sort of in the region of overwhelming hospital beds, which modellers suggest to be about 4,000 infections a day, you then flatten your curve again. So it's lockdown, and then you close your lockdown or you reopen, and then you lock it down again until the virus has moved through enough of society that we have good levels of herd immunity.
Well, all I can say is I really hope they come up with a vaccine and that they come up with it really quickly, because that sounds horrendous.
Yeah, it really does, Tori. I think everybody shares those sentiments.
Well, thanks, Liam. We will definitely check back in with you on the progress of this race for a vaccine, and stay safe.
Thanks for your time.
Today's episode of Please Explain was produced by Anu Hasbold and Amelia Maguire. The journalists, editors, photographers, producers and tech team at The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald are working tirelessly at the moment to cover the COVID-19 crisis factually, fairly and comprehensively. For coverage you can trust, visit our websites or buy our papers. To support our journalism, you can subscribe via our homepages or just search, subscribe, The Sydney Morning Herald or The Age. I'm Tori Maguire. Thanks for listening.